Get ready to simplify your life with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. Stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Plus, with Wi-Fi for up to 10 devices, you can keep everyone entertained while on the road. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. Discover the convenience for yourself and see if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicles and operation compatible device and vehicle require.
Wind Down with Jana Kramer, an iHeartRadio podcast.
So, lots been going on.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And I don't, I'm just going to let you take the floor. Would you like to talk about anything or no?
I mean, you can ask me questions if you want.
Ask you questions. Okay. Well, here's
just me taking the floor is not going to be.
Okay. Why am I getting emotional? I don't know. You're like, why is everyone emotional?
Why is everyone emotional?
Oh, man. No, I am. Well, do you want to talk about it or not?
Yes, sure.
Okay. Because I don't want you to... I have always wanted this platform to be about helping other people. Mm-hmm. And I think through shared experiences, through my experiences, through, you know, Sarah Gretzky's experiences about her miscarriages or in letting people have a voice to come on here and again, just share their experiences. Because I think sharing helps and heals, but also helps other people.
Sure.
And so you are very, I think at first this coming on the podcast, you were not hesitant, but like not as open to share.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Which is, you know, that's why I was like, girl, you don't have to do this if you don't want. Right. Like, I'm not like, I know you're my bestie, my OG, but like, I'm not like forcing you. And I understand that, you know, there is backlash with being open and having your life picked apart. And I see that firsthand. And, but I also know from the other side of it, the people that have, you know, stopped me or stopped you or, you know, and have related. And now people have been relating to your story. And, you know, you've been open about getting married young, mm-hmm. and some of the challenges in your marriage. And and I'm really proud of you, but would you like to share?
Yes. Oh, you're so much better at this. No. So we are getting a divorce. you know, it's one of those things. We have been married for 15 years, which is a long time. Got married at 23 and 25. I'm very different than you. You know, I'm very non-affectionate. I will own that. I'm, you know, it's harder for me to be vulnerable. You know, there's a lot of things that as a woman are harder for me that are normally easier for women, I would say. So, you know, long story short for us, yes, we got married young, but there have been issues for years, you know, and the last, you know, I'd say even 5 years, it's basically we just, you know, we've become roommates, you know, and it's one of those things that we probably would have stayed roommates forever. I know he would have. But through going to therapy, you know, I mean, that was a big, I decided I wanted to go back to therapy and make a decision and figure out what was best for not only me, but him and the kids. I mean, and I know that's not for me to say what's best for him, but what I felt like in the end would be better for everybody. So, yeah, so I kind of, I mean, we made a decision, you know, and, you know, we're just kind of walking through it. It's very new. Mm-hmm. Just told the kids not too long ago. That was tough. That was real tough. But as crazy as it sounds, we've gotten along really, really, really well. And that's all I've prayed for. Like, I mean, I just wanted this to go smoothly. I want us to get along. I want us to be friends. I mean, we've got three kids that are crazy busy, you know, mm-hmm. so we've gotten along really well. He's been super emotional about it, I'll be honest. And that's hard. And I've had my emotions too. I mean, it's not that I haven't. I've definitely had my emotions around it, but I think that I've had more time to really sit with it because I've been trying to make a decision for a while now. And I told him that. So that's, you know, kind of what we're walking now. And, you know, in the end, I feel like it's something that I did for all of us, but it's also really to protect my mental health and my happiness. And, you know, it's sometimes hard to take what seems like a selfish step, you know, to take care of yourself. But I think that that's what needed to be done. So, yeah, I mean, that's basically.
Well, I just, when you were sharing that, I was just like, man, there's going to be so many women that can relate to that.
I hope so. It feels very lonely to be that kind of woman, I'll be honest. It really does because, I mean, I don't even really have any friends that are that way. You know, I mean, it's just, and so it's kind of, it really is kind of a lonely feeling. You feel like, you know, we always joked for so long, Nick's the girl in the relationship and I'm the guy because mm-hmm. I'm just, you know, I mean, and I am emotional. I definitely cry and I am emotional, but it's just harder for me to be vulnerable. And that's a lot of from growing up and situations growing up. But also I'm realizing like, you know, I can get there. I just need to work on it and I need to work on myself and I'll get there. And, you know, at the end of the day, no one's to blame. I think we both had issues in our marriage and things, but, you know, I think in the end I can work through that and kind of get, but yeah, I hope that helps people that feel that way. Women, especially. I know mm-hmm. men feel that way a lot, but you know, and I've had a few people reach out to me, you mm-hmm. know, that say that it's like, oh, you know, I feel that way too. And it's, I feel like nobody else does. So I do hope that that kind of helps people. And, you know, I'm happy to, you know, help that in any way. I hope that that does help some people that feel that way.
And I know it will. And I know listeners that are relating to this right now will outpour to you and then also ask for your advice too. And you can become that vessel of helping. It's not guiding. You're just mm-hmm. speaking from your experience. Sure. And that's kind of, you know, where I've always tried to go, like, this is just my experience. And then that's, you're doing the same thing. And like, you're helping people not feel alone. And I also think one of the things too, that like something you always said to me that it's like, you, in a way, I don't, if I'm misspeaking, like, please correct me, but like, you almost carried shame. Like, he didn't do, like, he didn't yeah. cheat on me. And it's like, I don't think people realize that you don't there doesn't have to be it can yeah. just be mm-hmm. what yeah. you're going through.
I mean, that was the last, I don't know how long I've been seeing Amy, but that's what I would tell her all the time. I'm like, but he didn't do anything wrong. You know, it's like, so it's really hard. And it, you know, it's, again, it is a decision, I will say, that we have made together. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously I want my kids to feel that, you know, mm-hmm. to feel that way. But yeah, I mean, it was one of those that's just like, you didn't do anything wrong and I love you as a friend, but like, it's time, mm-hmm. you know, and that's tough. That I battled with that for some time and he probably did too, you know? So yeah, I mean, that's been a battle for a very, very long time. Granted, my parents were divorced and very similar situation. And you know, they tried to stay together for us for so long. And that's one thing I didn't want to, that's one thing I really struggled with. I'm like, is this really healthy for them? Like, they need to see, and we told them that, like, you need to see a marriage where your parents are affectionate and your parents. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've been very open with them. Very, very. And you know, it's like, and you know, I think they know that deep down but they haven't seen it. They really, truly haven't seen it. So yeah, I mean, it was a struggle, but once I made the decision and you know, I feel as good as you can about it, I guess. That's mm-hmm. I don't want to sound insensitive because I know it's harder on him. I'll be honest, it is. And I don't want to be insensitive to that, but I truly feel like it's going to be what's best for everybody.
Well, We all love you.
I love you.
And I'm really proud of you. Just like the work that you've done in the last, you know, couple years. And I know you made a very not easy decision, and, you know, queendom's here for you. Wind down queendom is all, you know, that we're all here to support. And I think, again, this is just another opportunity to help people not feel alone. And I think especially with, you know, this being mental health month, and I think so many people internalize things by themselves, mm-hmm. which is, and then, you know, it's just not, and this is a way to be able to, okay, like, you're not alone. You are going through things, and other people are going through the same thing. You just might not know that.
Right. For sure.
But I am really proud of you, and we're going to, can I like continue to check in on you? Like,
yes. Even on you're so sweet. You're so good. I'm like, wait, I'm supposed to be the one checking on you.
No, girl, I'm a year out from my divorce, and I'm, you know, it's all about loving myself, because, mm-hmm. you know, for me after my divorce, I was like, a man was always something that defined me. Like, mm-hmm. being in a relationship was something that defined me. And now it's like, no, it's finding me and healing mm-hmm. alone. And like, that's been the work that like I've had to do. And, but no, I mean, your days of checking up on me are done for now.
We got this.
We're switching roles here. And I think, you know, and I always said and say this to her, and because I've known, you know, obviously this is struggles. And I think you can ask a friend, what do you need and how can I support you? Because somebody might not be ready. Like, as much as I wanted y'all, like, of course I love both of you dearly, and I would have loved y'all's relationship to work. But at the same time, I also think y'all deserved, you know,
right,
other things as well. So it's like, how can I support? Because I will support you fighting for this, and I'll also support you, right. you know, being a single mama. And if you can get on my every other weekend so we can go.
Working on it. Yeah. No, I mean, you've been super supportive, and I truly appreciate that. And I know I couldn't have done it if it wasn't for my friends and Amy. I know that for a fact. So
Amy, she's a vessel.
Bless her.
Yes. We'll love you, and we'll circle back around when we'll have more people that come on that can, you know, help with that. But
sure.
Everyone go love on some Catherine right now. This episode is actually sponsored by Uber Eats. And I don't know about you, but Catherine, we're going to, you know, our girl Wednesday nights are just going to be wild with, and Uber Eats. We can, you know, we can order chocolate. We can order Kleenex and tissues. And
I think we can get stuff for our pool parties too, because yes. we're going to pool parties, right?
Yeah. And we can get it all with Uber Eats. So that's, I just encourage all the mamas, single mamas, dadas, grandparents. Uber Eats is an incredible app. It's actually just not for just getting food delivered to your house. It's anything and everything. Like, I just ordered towels, and Jolie wanted Play-Doh. So I was like, I don't have time to get your kids in here, but yes, let's just do this. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to get on Corinne Fox and talk more about what this month means to her. Did you know that 95% of pregnant women are not getting their recommended daily intake of key omega-3s? That's where Ritual comes in. Their prenatal contains 350 milligrams of eco-friendly, vegan omega-3 DHA in every serving, sourced from algal oil instead of fish. I loved Ritual. I took it when I was pregnant with Roman. I also now take their multivitamin. It's just an amazing everyday thing that I know is good for the body. A prenatal multivitamin made traceable with vegan, bioavailable, and clinically studied key nutrients for before and during pregnancy, like omega-3 DHA to support baby's brain development and choline and methylated folate to support baby's neural tube development. Their vitamins are rigorously tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals. Ritual works with world-class certification bodies to validate their products. Why settle for a multivitamin you're not 100% sure about? Ritual was literally built on trust, so you know it's the real deal. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/wine. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women prenatal to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/wine for 25% off.
you. It's so nice to see you.
So nice to see you, too. I'm Jana. This is Catherine. My hair is in Mike's.
Hi, Catherine. Hi, Jana. I'm Corinne.
Hi. Nice to meet you, sweetie. I actually saw I saw you. My one girlfriend did Beat Shazam. Julie.
Oh, she did?
She did.
I didn't realize that.
She was on the show?
She was on the show. So, yeah, my friend Julie Solomon, yeah, and she, you know, married to my ex, John, and whatever. And but yeah, it was like, God, how many years was that? It was probably like 4 years ago, because she's literally the girl that was like, it can play one chord and she knows it. And I'm like, can you play the whole song? Because I still don't know. Like,
No. I mean, I'm the DJ on the show.
And I remember seeing you on there.
Admittedly, there are songs where I'm like, I don't know how you could get it this fast, because it's actually very hard.
It's so hard. Yeah, but I remember seeing you and just going, God, she is beautiful. And then I didn't know at the time was that, you know, your dad is Jamie Foxx. So I was just like, oh, wow, like, that's so cool that, you know, she's working with her dad and how cool that must be. So while my friend's on the show, I'm kind of just like, you know, and he's like, my daughter. And I was like, this is so cool.
That's so random. I cannot believe, you know, someone who's on the show. I'm always so curious, like, what happens to our contestants, because I fall in love with them. They always have, like, such great stories, and they're, like, they do such a good job at, like, vetting these people, and they come in with so much energy, and they're so excited.
Yeah.
So what a small world.
I know. It was crazy. But, I mean, you're so good. Do you love doing that?
I love doing it. I'm actually, right now, I'm in Ireland. Shooting the fifth season of the show, which is crazy. But it's a blast, and working with my dad is amazing. I mean, I don't know if you have watched multiple episodes, but he just has so much energy, and he's like a big kid. So I'm like parenting him on the show, where I'm like, he's doing dance breaks and doing dances he shouldn't be doing for his age. And I'm always like, hey, let's get back to the show, Dad. You know? So we have a really fun relationship that I also think, like, a lot of fathers and daughters can relate to, with me like eye rolling and him, you know, trying to do like a funny bit and I'm just not having it. So I think a lot of people like to watch us and can relate.
Sure. Speaking of Ireland, I was out there last October. I did Name That Tune, and they also filmed that in Ireland. So
yes, that's the same creator, I think, of our show.
Okay. Yeah. But you need to go. Have you gone to, the cliffs of, I'm going to butcher the name.
Mower.
Have you gone?
I went to Dublin in college for St. Patrick's Day. So I did go there, very hungover. I think I need to go again, but it's gorgeous.
It's so pretty. Yeah. No, so I took like a day trip. We went there, went to Galway. And then
I want to go there if I have time.
It's super cute. It's just like cobblestones, and like you just skip and
you just skip
and like, be merry.
Yeah, just like drink some tea. And so you did I read an interview that you wanted to change your last name?
I considered it, and I said that in an interview, and then I feel like it just exploded on the internet. But I think I grew up, you know, everyone was always looking at me, they were always interested in the things that I was doing. And when I was going to college, I considered for a brief moment taking on my mom's last name just so I could get a fair shot. I always like struggled with making friends and really feeling like, you know, are they being genuine? Do they want something from me? Do they just want concert tickets? Do they just want to go to movie premieres? And not that that ever really happened to me, but it was a constant like insecurity and fear. And I think going into college, I thought, well, maybe if I, you know, take my mom's last name, you know, people won't know who I am, and they'll, you know, not want things from me. And I didn't ultimately do that, but it was something that I did deal with and struggle with. And obviously I've been given so many blessings from my dad's career, but there were some things that were also not so great about it as well.
Mm-hmm. In a way, do you kind of think like, what are the things that you wish that that weren't great about it?
You know, not much. I mean, I've been so blessed to be able to do so many great things. Mm-hmm. And when I was 10 years old, I attended the Oscars with my dad when he won his first Oscar. And so it's like, you can't really complain. But I think because I was constantly looked at, or I felt like people were always keeping an eye on me, I became a bit of a perfectionist and I never wanted to mess up. I never wanted to, you know, embarrass my dad, anything. Not that he was putting that on me. It was just me putting it on myself. And I felt like I couldn't really be authentic for a while until, you know, I got older and really found my voice. But for a while, I really struggled with not wanting to mess up. And I didn't really give myself the grace to be a human. And I think children of celebrities kind of go one of two ways. Either you become, you know, the crazy party kid that you read about all the time, or you become me, someone who didn't curse until I was like 16 or 17, because I thought stupid was a bad word and I didn't want to, you know, do something and say the wrong thing. And that was a lot of pressure for a kid, you know?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it is. And also, you know, people love to troll behind a computer and say things that they don't know about you. So I'm sure, like, is that something that you have a hard time dealing with too? People that, and how do you deal with that?
I think both my parents did such a great job at teaching me the difference between what's real and what's not real and whose opinion to value. And my dad is like very, harsh on social media in the terms of like not believing trolls and not even giving your time of day to it. But I think I struggled with people saying, you know, assuming, I guess, like I'm spoiled and I don't work hard and all of those things. And I always felt like I had to prove myself. And I always felt like I had to show up, you know, even more prepared than somebody else and even more, you know, impressive than somebody else. And I think that was really tough on me. But ultimately, you know, it served me. It created this work ethic that I have that I'm very proud of and that I get praised on all the time. And so, you know, it was tough, but it also, you know, built character.
How is it dating with your, you know, your dad?
Oh, I get asked this all the time. You know, in high school, it was tough. We wrote a whole TV show about it. We did a show on Netflix called Dad Stop Embarrassing Me, which was mostly about my dating experiences with my dad, because I think he was like waiting to play this role of, you know, he grew up in Texas, so he wanted to do the whole like shotgun bit. And so my first boyfriend that came around, he was so hard on him. And even my college boyfriend, the next one, he was so hard on him. And finally he learned his lesson, and my boyfriend now, he is so sweet too. But I had to go through it. I had to go through my dad knocking on their front doors and threatening them and threatening their families. And I was like, Dad, I
cannot imagine.
This is a high school relationship. You're like,
this is not Django Unchained, please.
Exactly. No, exactly. And I think he was playing a character because he's such a softy. This man cries all the time. He's super sensitive. So I think he was just like honestly playing a character.
Mm-hmm. That's so funny. Is there something that your dad taught you that you now, like within your relationship now or the relationships that you have, that is it, did he teach you your worth? Is it like, what are some things that like the positive things that he instilled, like for you to have healthy relationships? Assuming you have a great, healthy relationship.
I have
relationship.
An amazing relationship. Yeah, I do. My dad has instilled in me this incredible self-worth. My dad thinks the world of me. He tells me all the time. He's always like, do you know who you are? And not in the sense of like my last name, but in the sense of how wonderful and amazing and brilliant I am. And he makes me really feel that. And so that's how I've always looked for a partner. Not that I'm looking for my dad, but I'm looking for someone that sees me through his eyes and like sees how wonderful I am. And so I've never really been in like a toxic relationship. I've never really settled for any guy that wouldn't treat me well, because I was just like, well, my dad treats me so wonderful. You know, it's like the opposite of daddy issues, you know? And so I really thank him for that. And he also does it to my younger sister, who's 13 right now. But that's going to carry on into the relationships that she has. And I can see it.
Yeah, it's something to be, and that's, you know, because I'm doing a lot of like childhood trauma work again. I feel like I do it like every 5 years, but
yeah, you always need a tune up.
Well,
yeah.
That's what I was talking to someone, because I'm going away to this place, and you know, I was like, God, like how am I here again? And it's like, he's like, honestly, he goes, I do a tune up every year. He's like, I think, you know, even if you didn't have a bad childhood or whatever, it's like sometimes you learn something new or you have a tune up and it's needed. But at the same time, I'm just like, okay, I know, like when my dad cheated on my mom, it made me feel like I wasn't enough. And, you know, it's like, and it's interesting, like when little, well, not little things, but when moments like that happen in your life, you start to believe that that is then what your worth is. And then like, and then you start looking like, oh, well, that's why I've been in toxic and after toxic and haven't loved myself enough because I didn't think my dad loved me. And then it's like, you know, it just goes into this like spiral. So I'm always like, okay, like how do I like, cause I don't want this for my gen, like my kids' generation.
Well, that's an interesting perspective, the opposite of that.
Yeah.
Like dad really lifting her up and treating her. I mean, it's very interesting. It makes you want to make sure that the men are very good to our kids.
Well, good on you for breaking the cycle, you know, like and noticing it and not wanting to like pass that on, because I think so many people don't do the work. It's so much easier to not do the work. I've been in therapy since I was 14, so it is like my favorite topic. It is like my favorite thing in the world. And you know, I do think like our generation is the generation that's actually like stopping these cycles. Cause you can see like how our parents were affected by our grandparents so much and they're not as aware. And I feel like we're very aware of like how our parents have influenced us. And like, even me, I'm like, I had a wonderful childhood, but I became a perfectionist. And that's also something that doesn't serve me necessarily.
Well, it's not that it doesn't, I mean, it's gotten you right to a great place having that, but it's something that, you know, you don't need to hold on to. Like you don't have to be a perfectionist. You can use it in certain aspects, you know, like I think, you know, I think being guarded doesn't serve me, but at the same time, being guarded has helped me recognize things or maybe not allow things in. But
the wrong things.
Yeah. The wrong things, but it's so hard when you go back to, well, the conditioning of what we believed as little kids. And so it's trickery.
We all are just like 8-year-olds operating as adults. You know?
Well, it's interesting. Have you figured out what age you are? Because I'm 5. So when
what is this?
So it's the moment that you basically your worth was determined. So what age? And there was something that I had to where I had to go back, and there was one point. Well, 5 is when I felt fear, and then at 13 was the second age. So I'm between a 5 and a 13-year-old when I have my like daddy issues, quote unquote. I mean, and it's funny, like you say, like now with my dad, it's they did the best they could with what they did, because I looked at my grandpa. I'm like, oh, my grandpa was but he didn't know. They didn't go to therapy. You know, when they were that age. So it's like they didn't understand that, but it's fascinating. So we encourage anyone to do some childhood work.
Yes. Yes, we do.
I want to do the age thing. I've been in therapy since I was 14 and I feel like I've covered it all, but we've not done what age am I? I'm curious.
It's all about like the experiential work that you do with that. And it's you basically talk to that age. It's mind blowing. Like it really is. Like it's, you kind of like
calling my therapist.
I know. It's like, you would switch seats with you. Like your however old girl would be. And then you're talking to it. I mean, it's like, yeah. And I'm probably going to have to redo that again when I go this weekend.
Sounds like I need to call.
But I do love though that someone, you know, you obviously have such a big following and you're so vocal about anxiety. And I love that, because we talk a lot about anxiety on this podcast because I suffer from anxiety. And, you know, I think at times you definitely, it's a different, but it's still,
for sure.
And I'm just curious, like, does the anxiety come from the perfectionism or does it come from a different place?
You know, I think I had a genetic predisposition to it. And then I think it was triggered by things in my childhood, including, you know, all of the pressures or the self-imposed pressures of my last name. But there's a few moments in my life that I can definitely pinpoint to where this anxiety developed. But it wasn't until I was 14 that I really understood what was going on. And that's actually a very normal time. I'm an ambassador for NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And 75% of mental health disorders start between the ages of 14 and 24. As soon as I turned 14, I was like right on time. But I remember sitting in my English class and I could just feel my heart pounding and my palms were sweaty. And I was having this thought that a plane was going to crash into the building and probably some trauma from 9/11 that I just like didn't really understand. And I realized, okay, this isn't normal. I'm sure that not every other kid is sitting here feeling this way. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, I had the wherewithal to go to my parents, which seems like the last thing a 14-year-old would do is like, be like, Mom, Dad, I'm not feeling good. But I did. And, you know, they were so great about it. And I met my therapist, who I still have today. I'm 28, so I'm approaching the year where I've been with her longer than I have not been with her. And yeah, I've been working with Ami ever since, and it's been so rewarding for me.
I love that. Do you still have anxiety attacks?
I wouldn't say I have panic attacks anymore. I do have panic disorder, so I guess I could have one, but I've really learned so many tools, mm-hmm. 14 years in therapy,
yeah.
that I can feel when one's coming on. I have a toolkit. I have this note in my phone that I've been writing for the last, 10 years. Of all these things to do if I'm not feeling well. And I really rely on that. And it's things like exercising and meditating and journaling and calling mm-hmm. a friend and all these things that seem simple, but when you're having an anxiety attack, you completely forget. You're just like, I have no tools. I'm a little baby and I'm, you know, flailing and I need help. And so having this notes app really is just like, okay, I can just go to that. What do I do? Oh, yep. Okay. I haven't done that. Let me do that. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's kind of the same thing where I'm like, all right, I don't have to call the ambulance anymore. I know how to do the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 or
yes,
what?
Like, yes.
I'm like, all right, I'm like, what five things do I see in the room that like, you know, and then the breathing. But is there one that like works the best for you, like technique wise?
I think breath control was mm-hmm. the biggest game changer for me. When I started meditating, I really understood because, of course, yes, it's calming, but there are like physiological changes that happen. If you can get your heart rate down, you're set, mm-hmm. At least for me. And so when I learned how to take a deep breath when I want to just hyperventilate, that changed the game for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gives you your control back. Because when you're having an anxiety attack, it's a complete loss of control. So if you could do something that actually changes your physiological state, you know, it's over. You know, the panic attack is over.
Yeah. Well, I love that you know, are such an advocate for that. And I, you know, I appreciate that. And where can our listeners go to find more about that?
Well, if they're struggling right now, they can go to NAMI.org. They have so many resources there. Mm-hmm. But actually right now it's Mental Health Awareness Month. And I just mm-hmm. partnered with this brand called Shine the Light On to create this collection of like tees and mm-hmm. hoodies and crew necks and bucket hats. And 40% of the proceeds are going to NAMI. So if they want to just support NAMI, they can go to ShineTheLightOn.com and get some swag and look cute and support mental health.
I love that. That's so great. I wish Mark was on too, because he talks a lot about his daughter too, and how he's, how she's got anxiety. But I think it's, for me, one of the big things is, whenever I feel one coming on, expressing it and talking about it, like I'm having a panic attack, because trying to hold it in and pretend that I'm not having a panic attack, it makes it like 10 million times worse.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. It grows bigger inside of you.
Yeah.
And so when you can just like let it out a little bit, it's like its power goes down.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. It's like you're popping the air out of it. But, exactly. I so appreciate you coming on and, doing what you do and just keep being the light that you are, because you're beautiful. And I appreciate you. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so wonderful.
You're sweet. Thanks, girl. Have a great one.
See ya.
You too. Bye.
She's so sweet.
She is.
Just a breath of fresh air.
That just made me think about the time we were in the small airplane.
Oh, God.
And I really haven't dealt with many panic attacks.
Was this after my breakup with Brantley?
Yes.
Yes, it was after my breakup with Brantley.
And I really hadn't dealt with panic. I mean, I've never truly had a panic attack. Never really been around people with panic. We're in this. I mean, it was a small plane.
Can we? No, no. Let's just go back. It's not just a small plane. I mean, you can't move. It's a 4-seater?
The 6.
Okay, but like the 6, it was like pilot.
We were 4.
Yeah. And it was like I know you can't see me right now in the thing, but it's like literally like this. And I had just, we had just, Brantley and I had just broken up and I was a hot mess.
Oh my gosh. Well, it just made me think of that because you're talking about how you had to talk about it. Oh, you had to talk about it. It was like... but can I get off the plane if I have to? And I'm like, no, you can't get off the plane. And she's like, but if I have to, because like,
like what you're saying is, because like the worst thing about having a panic attack is like you can't, like you feel stuck, right? So I'm like, so I'm like starting to feel it come on, and I'm already like, oh my God, like I'm gonna be alone forever.
Like, now knowing you as much as I do, it all makes so much more sense. But in the moment, because I mean, we knew each other well, but like it was the first trip. I was just like, finally, I was like, oh, I'm supposed to tell her we can get off the plane.
Yeah.
Like, it's not possible, but sure, yeah, we can get off the plane. It's fine.
Oh, I'm glad you finally caught on to that, because I was like,
it took me a little while.
And I was like, was Lisa with us too? Was that the one Lisa was on? Because I think she was having a panic attack too. I'll have to call her.
I don't know.
And text
I only
her.
Remember you. I just remember you being in front of me. I can still visualize it.
Yeah. And I'm like, Catherine, I'm having a panic attack. I don't want to do the show. I can't do the show. And you're like, God. We have to do the show. And I was like, no, Catherine, I can't do the show.
And then I'm having a panic attack. So I'm like, how do I cancel the show?
This is like when I was like somewhat on top of not yeah, somewhat, you know, successful in music. You were like, and so, you know what I mean now? Like I was like, yeah. I actually had a label and stuff, but, and then I was like, well, I need you to turn the plane around. She's like, we can't turn the plane around. I was like, what do you mean? We can't turn the plane around, please.
I'm like, I'm going to have to get on this thing and tell him to turn around.
So I was like, I'm glad you finally caught on to the fact that I was like, I need you to tell me we can turn this plane around.
Yeah.
We're not going to, but if we had to, I was like, what if I die? Like, if we had to turn the plane around. Like, that's what I remember one time. I think I was flying to Scotland. Oh, yeah. I was with my ex. We were flying to Scotland for my friend's wedding. And we just had Jace. And so I was, like, super, like, you know, hormonal or whatever, anxious. And I remember I started to have a panic attack on the plane because I'm like, this is a 10-hour flight. I'm stuck. I remember going up to the flight attendant. I was like, can I please have some ice? Because I wanted to, you know, one of the tricks is to put ice on your, like, your palm, your back of your neck. And I just start, like, dousing myself with, like, ice. And then I was like, so if, like, someone had to stop the plane because of, like, a panic attack or, like, you know, she was just like, I was basically say, like, what is the protocol for that? Like, how does, like, does one,
poor flight attendant.
Does one get to stop a plane? And she was basically just like, I mean, if it was like a dire situation. So I was like, great.
Enough. That's all I need to know.
So if I have to like flail myself, which I'll never do, knock on wood, but like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
except for unless you're stuck on the interstate with bad weather and then by golly, you're getting off.
Oh, we're getting off.
Yeah.
Hey, but you should be very proud of me. I have started to drive on the expressway. This is a very,
very
big
proud
step.
Of you.
Thank
like
you.
You've done it multiple times now?
I think three times.
Good.
I sent a picture as I'm driving. I sent a picture to Queendom and I was like, look, girls, I'm on the expressway.
No, the thing is you didn't even say, look, girls, I'm on the expressway. Oh, yeah, it was just a photo and everybody knew.
Oh, that's true. That was my internal brain. And you're right. I didn't say anything.
We all knew.
Yeah. And I was like, you know, but I think, and what you will see too, is some things that maybe it could be with affection. I don't know.
Sure.
But like, or whatever. Like with my anxiety or me feeling like I always have to have a relationship, which now I'm like, I don't want one. I'm going to be happy alone. Like I'm going to drive on the expressway. I don't need a man to like make me feel like a few daddy issues. I'm on my third round of like an intensive therapy thing. Like, let's do this.
Let's go.
So it's like, you know, you start to like feel like, oh, like little moments of like healing are like good.
Yeah.
And that was like a small victories.
Small victories, yeah. For sure.
Like going on Uber Eats app, you know, that small little victories when you don't have to like get the kids in the car.
Yeah.
And go to four
helpful.
Different places.
Yeah.
Because I needed a speaker for the pool party. I needed towels. I needed groceries. And then.
And you were probably about to have a panic attack because you didn't have it. Thanks, Uber Eats.
Yes, seriously. So thank you, Uber Eats. And, if you want to do a one stop on your phone, you can get it all that day. So I started writing some new songs. Did that one song remind you of something?
Which one?
The Somewhere or Out There.
And I don't think so.
Okay. Well, there were,
should it have?
Well, we're in the middle of writing the song, and I go, guys, does this remind you of that one song?
Oh, remember
that one
song? Like,
no, but Fible? No. Somewhere out there beneath the pale moon. Do you remember that song? Come on, Easton.
I mean, vaguely.
It's like, I'm trying to sing in a chipmunk voice, okay? Or whatever. Then it's not
it's
a chipmunk.
Literally
it's
like
a.
Like the chipmunk?
No, it's not a chip. It's like, so. The whole song was basically about, like, I know out there somewhere.
It's Linda Ronstadt. It's from American Tale. It is Feifel. You are correct.
It's Feifel. Yeah.
Linda Ronstadt, man.
I can't remember how it goes, but I'm going to. Do we have a little odd? I don't even think we could probably play it, but anywho, it is. For some reason, because the whole song was like, I was like, what's like the next song I'm going to write about? Right. So I was like, all right, I'm good. But like, I wonder, like, if you're out there praying, like I'm praying for
right,
you,
yeah.
you know, like in one day,
yeah,
it'll be a great day. But right now, like, stay the heck away. I'm good. No, I'm kidding.
I don't need you.
I don't need you. I want you. Oh, man. Well, I love you guys. And I hope you guys have a great rest of the day and go to Catherine's page and fill her with lots of love because we love you, Kat.
Love you.
And hopefully we were able to give you some smiles. And you know, you can always make fun of me, right? Because that's usually
that
how you make.
Yes, I know. Thank see you. That? Like, sorry.
She's like, as long as we can like crack jokes at you.
It just makes me feel at home.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This just in. Mark.
Uh-oh.
Got a chap done.
How do you say his last name?
It's three simple syllables.
What is it?
Mole, knit, ski.
Mole, knit, ski.
Mole, knit,
the dance to it.
Well, I would like that's it if easy. You could spell okay. it that way.
Mole, well, believe me, the H is problematic.
But, is. The H is, that's why I was like, mole, knit, ski.
So I missed some big news, I think.
Oh, well, it wasn't like breaking, like happy news.
Well, it's sad news.
It is.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry to hear that, Catherine. That's really unfortunate. Unless you're
that.
Thrilled and excited. I don't know. I don't know the vibe here trying to read the room.
But well, we were trying to like, you know, end it on a high note, cracking a little jokes here and there. But I will say something that I have checked in. When I've checked in, I go, how are you feeling? Like, do you feel relieved or, and your responses has made me go, okay, like,
yeah. And I hate to use that word relieved because I feel guilty using that word, but I do kind of feel that way. And I feel very hopeful. I feel very hopeful that everything's going to work out the way that it should. So.
Well, that's good. Yeah. If you're feeling that way, then it sounds like this is the best decision for everybody.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed.
Should we blame this podcast? Because there's not a good track record in this.
Mark! Oh my God. Are you a secret troll? Are you? Look, I'm not trying to bring my friends down with me. Like, how many times I say no? Like, work on it, stay in it.
If like, anything is...
Fuck, can we just time out really fast? I'm the one that like, worked on my ex when he cheated a million times. So, hello. Like, I'm the biggest
the relationship
advocate.
Relationship track record in this little Zoom meeting isn't wonderful. I'm wondering, maybe I should get out.
Maybe you should run now.
Wow.
No, if anything, it's been helpful. If anything, it's definitely been helpful.
And you know what I would say to that as well is this podcast, this is about healing. So if you're on board with healing, then you're in the right Zoom.
I am on board and happy to be here.
Amazing.
So that's how we get to end it. Cracking on you.
Oh,
it's your fault.
Jesus. Well, that's what everyone's going to say now, though.
I'm just
can't
kidding.
Wait for
it's
those
not,
comments. You know how much anxiety I get
Jana
when I read those things?
Has nothing to do with any of it.
God, I can't wait till my tell-all comes out. Well, you're really going to... Kidding. Mark.
Oh, God. Well, thanks for joining us, Mark.
Well, I'm sorry I came so late.
It's okay.
I just wanted to express my condolences and my best wishes and good luck and all that stuff.
And tell me to F off and that it's all my fault.
That's not what I was saying.
I'm kidding. It's fine. It's fine.
Maybe it's their fault. There's like 10 of them.
It's no one's fault. That's the thing. At the end of the day, it's no one's fault.
No one's fault.
And, yeah, now we got the support of Wind Down. So next week, we will be back and we will be in one step closer to healing. But let's not forget to download the Uber Eats app because it is easy. It saves time. So save your time and order with the Uber Eats app today. Again, you can get anything like from groceries to, I don't know if you want to order, like I ordered a poke bowl the other day because I was hungry for dinner. Cookbooks, now that I'm on a big crock pot recipe search.
Ooh, I need that too.
Yeah, I know. Catherine DM'd me and goes, hey, single mom, send me the recipe. About to be one.
Well, what we do have in common is we both can't cook.
Yeah, I know. So, oh, you know what we should do? Wednesday night, can't cook single mom night. Yes. And then we teach each other how to cook.
Yeah.
See, little things. Cute. And Uber Eats is going to help us with that, with the cookbooks, because we can get anything from there. Download the app today. See you guys next week. Discover the rich, smooth taste of Matcha Love, made with Japanese green tea and real matcha. There are so many culinary treats to create with this precious powder that go beyond the traditional tea ceremony. Everything from lattes to baked goods to smoothies, experience the vitality of the whole tea leaf. Matcha is vibrant in taste and full of powerful health benefits. Get 25% off all Matcha Love products on etoan.com using code JANA. That's code JANA. At itoen.com, available on Amazon and etoan.com.